Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome to The True World with Matthew Deagle. I'm your host, Matthew Deagle. I'm here to discuss world events in terms of their collective and their psychological and cultural influences which lead to them. Today I have a lot of stuff to discuss about what's going to happen here in the coming decades. I discussed last program some of the stuff about the potential for a world war. Previously, I've discussed how a lot of collective events are kind of controlled to warn us about where we're headed. But it's looking pretty bad from my perspective right now as far as where things are headed. There's a lot of environmental disasters going on the past year. We had, as I've discussed before, the worst hurricane season on record, which coincided with earthquakes. And where this is all really headed? Well, I want to discuss here, first of all, possible dates for when this is all going to start to hit the fan. It could happen sooner or later, depending on circumstances, depending on what we do. But the real date to look out for, the year to look out for, is 2028, when these influences really seem inevitably to, by that point, go out of control. I think even the early 2020s, like 2024, 2025, things might start to get quite bad in this regard. And what we're seeing right now, I discussed last program how there's a lot of like communist conspirators going on. A lot of agitators and people trying to start a revolution. And this drive for a socialist or communist revolution is going to get worse as the economy gets worse. And as all these issues get worse. Right now, I mean, on the other hand, I think capitalism is out of control in terms of these rich people just parasiting off everybody else. The government taxing everybody to death, and the average person's wages not only dropping in some cases, but even if they don't drop, the cost of living going up astronomically in some areas, all of which I think is pushing us toward the potential for a revolt, along with all these anarchist organizations and communist organizations. So where I see things headed is all this stuff is getting so out of control, it's going to provoke an opposite reaction from whoever's in power. Just hold on a second here. It's going to provoke an opposite reaction from who's in power, and they're going to want to try to maintain and hold on to their wealth and their power however they can, which means that they're going to pretty much throw all of our rights and our freedoms out the window. And I think they already have secret plans for this, which we know of, such as to ban cash and replace it all with digital currency. And what we already see them doing since the Bush administration, which is establishing as much surveillance as they can. I think that they've even gone so far themselves as to promote some of this stuff as an excuse to crack down on people. Like the other element, though, that I've discussed many times on my show, is the organized crime. It's just so out of control. They do whatever they want. And that's a major driving force that's often overlooked when people discuss things like the refugee crisis in Europe, is that these refugees are being brought in by the mafia, literally, by the Italian mafia and by other organized crime gangs in order to have a supply of drug dealers and prostitutes and that sort of thing. Literally, that's the actual motive, at least for these people. I'm sure there's other motives involved, but those motives might also be quite dirty. Like maybe they want terrorism as an excuse to crack down on the population in conjunction with things like these out of control socialists and Marxists we see these days, who are just getting ever more crazy. And that craziness, I mean, you see the way that they acted when Trump got elected. They were going around smashing things and rioting. And I think that sort of thing is just going to increase in frequency. Stuff like these people attacking random police officers, destroying government property, destroying private property, whatever. And as this stuff increases, the government's going to use it as an excuse to become ever more totalitarian. And of course, they're going to want to be essentially enforcing whatever the status quo already is, which is money. Right? So we're going to have these Islamist and socialist revolutionaries trying to take over, and the U.S. will use that as an excuse probably to intervene in Europe as well as to crack down on any revolutionaries of any kind here. Which means you're going to see essentially the enactment of martial law at some point. Provoked by the stuff. You just have to look as a kind of indicator of how close that is, how out of control these people are, how much terrorism is going on in Europe, and how many like Marxist lunatics are going around destroying things for no reason. Because those idiots are the reason why the government has an excuse to crack down and take away your freedoms. It's because these people are so out of control that they require some kind of defense against them, but then they use that as an excuse to take away everybody's rights. So next time you see these people demonstrating or whatever they call it, when they smash random things or attack cops or riot after every time somebody gets shot by the police, those people are leading us closer to martial law. The main factor in Europe, though, is these Islamists, because right now they're getting together in France and preparing to take over the entire country. I'm not kidding that not only are there Islamist attacks almost every week or day now in Germany and France of some kind, and I mean like stabbings and stuff like that, right? But that in France in particular and in Sweden, there's so many of these guys that they actually are plotting an Islamist revolution in these countries. And when that happens, the U.S. is going to use that as an excuse to intervene, to save the day by turning the EU into a dictatorship, basically. It's already a dictatorship. I mean, the EU Commission already proposes all laws, right? So it's already a dictatorship. They aren't elected. But it's going to get a lot worse when these Islamists start rampaging around and, you know, take control of some portion of the French military, for example. God knows what they might do if they, for example, if they got a hold of any of the larger weapons that the French have. They might even get a hold of nuclear weapons. And that would definitely be an excuse for the USA to go in there and turn it into martial law like they want to do here as well. And I mean the CIA, right? They have a plot to do all of this. And these people also, I think, want to start a war with Russia. I think that's what they were trying to do with Hillary Clinton, why they keep on talking about Russia, Russia, Russia. Supposedly Russia is infiltrating the U.S. and controlling elections or whatever. It's a bunch of nonsense. And it's just made up as a way of getting people paranoid in advance of them trying to provoke Russia to attack somebody. So, for example, they're trying to get Germany prepared to go to war with Russia. They started to attack Russia and Crimea with the U.S.'s CIA, FBI. What the FBI was doing there, I don't know myself. But the FBI, CIA, and the private military contractor, well, mercenary group, Constellation, they don't like being called mercenaries. But they were over there in Crimea fighting these Ukrainian separatists, these Crimean separatists. And the fact is that, I mean, Putin held a democratic vote there about joining the Russian Federation. And so it was an entirely democratic, uncontroversial annexation. Because the Russian military was there, supposedly that affects it. I don't believe it because they held a vote. So if they held a vote and they, what was it, like 80% or more, 90% said they wanted to join Russia, I don't think that that was all that controversial. I mean, they've held, like, for example, the Falkland Islands were invaded by Britain, and they still hold the Falklands. There's no controversy about that, and they held a referendum as well to see if they wanted to remain part of the UK or join Argentina, and like 90-something percent said they wanted to stay in the UK. Nobody wanted to start a war with the UK over that. But they want to start a war with Russia over this. It's a bunch of BS. And why do they want to start a war with Russia? As an excuse to enact martial law. All right, that's what this crap is about. They want to just take away all your rights and make themselves into a dictatorship so they can keep this capitalist BS going on. Because they know that with the way things are, with the overpopulation and with the you can already see right now the rise of Marxism, that people are going to want a socialist form of government of some kind. So what they're doing is exacerbating the craziest, most extreme left-wing lunatics in order to have an excuse to ban all of that and crack down on anything socialist so they can keep their money. They can swim around like Scrooge McDuck in their piles of gold. That's what these people are all about. They don't give it damn about you or about anything but money and materialism. They're complete idiots. And, you know, I mean, the fact they want to start a war with Russia, that alone shows right there how just evil and suicidal they are, because Russia, as I discussed last program, I don't know if they would yet, but they will eventually, all right? If they're provoked enough, they will eventually take out their biggest guns. And Russia has the capacity. Russia's most powerful nuclear weapon, the Satan II, is as powerful. Each individual one can deliver as much nuclear warheads, nuclear yield, about 50 megatons as the Tsar bomb, right? The Tsar bomba, so or the king of bombs. Now, if you watch a video of that thing going off, that was 51 megatons. Supposedly, the Satan II can individually deliver that much, and it can travel at 15,000 miles an hour. So if the USA really went into a full-on conflict with Russia to sustain its greedy way of life, what would happen is the USA would have all of its bases eradicated from existence. I mean, one of those Satan IIs, if it hit Guam, for example, the entire island would cease to exist. And they've got these Satan IIs stationed near China, so if China did anything, they'd also get destroyed. I mean, the idea for Russia right now is they wouldn't deploy them all at once, but but it's supposed to be a deterrent, right? It's supposed to be a de-escalation. So if they have a, if they do start a war with Russia, I think they know full well that Putin is, because he doesn't have very much conventional capacity yet, will deploy a nuclear weapon on one of their bases and nuke them. So what would that mean? That would mean like 20,000 people dying instantly. And they don't care about that. They just care about establishing a dictatorship in Europe and taking all your rights away and banning cash. It's just such a bunch of crap. But that's why this can't last for long. That's why I say 2028, we could have full-on World War III even then. At the very latest, it'll be 2041, as I've said before. But I think things are escalating so fast now with these greedy jerks that we could see this stuff all happening 2024 to 2025. And then we could see the full-on escalation in the hot war and, like, destruction of most U.S. cities in, like, 2028. As a matter of fact, the symbolic day to look out for, I think, is Halloween 2028. That particular time looks likely. So, like, late October 2028 is a possible time, depending on what people do. It's not certain, but that is a time when you could see the most insane, out of control thermonuclear war of all time. And all because of these people. But that means that, you know, we could see like this this dictatorship there for a while in the 2020s first. So we got like 6 or 7 years to see if that happens. And I think it could well, depending on how crazy people are. So depending on whether there are things like an Islamist revolution in Europe or an attempted communist revolution or just a bunch of anarchists smashing things, whatever. If this left-wing extremism gets bad enough in the U.S., it's already pretty bad. I mean, it's out of control, but it's going to get worse probably. Then it's possible that that'll happen in the U.S., and if that coincides with Islamists having a revolution in Europe, then this whole thing, the U.S. and the EU, could all become one kind of like Oceania or something like that, with totalitarian surveillance and martial law and, you know, just nobody having any power or rights anymore, and then kind of being made to be paranoid about Russia as they think about whatever they're going to do to start a war with Russia again. So I think they're going to try to start the first war with Russia earlier on. The Russians are not stupid enough to want to escalate this, so they want to de-escalate it. But it still means a lot of people are going to die, and they'll use it as an excuse for what? Well, let's see. Start a war with Russia for what purpose? As an excuse to enact martial law, right? At least in Europe, for example, if they say Russia's trying to invade Europe, which I think, I mean, it depends on what they do to Russia. But they already tried to start it in 2014. And I mean, like, they had this revolution, and then they immediately afterward had American CIA, FBI, and private mercenaries there in Crimea. So they were preparing for a war with Russia for no reason even then. So this is obviously their idea. They're going to blame it on Russia. They're going to say Russia attacked somebody, but it's really going to be them doing it, starting a war with Russia on purpose. Because I know that Russia is not interested in an offensive war right now, because they don't have, they're developing their offensive capabilities, but they're mostly only capable of defense and not offense anyway. So it wouldn't make sense for Russia to invade somebody unless there was some kind of defensive reason for it. So if Russia attacks anybody, it's going to be out of self-defense, because they just don't have the conventional military capabilities to attack a country in Europe or the United States right now. They might in like 10 years, but right now they don't. So why would they start a war with Europe if chances are it would require them using their nuclear weapons? I don't think they would. I think that they want to start a war with them because Russia's not on board with all this stuff. And they kind of wish Russia were on board with all of this criminal activity. I mean, the U.S., the CIA, they think that anybody, any sovereign country is their enemy for no matter what. Anybody who disagrees with their economic system or that just doesn't listen to them as the world police, which is ironic. I mean, how can the U.S. be the world police when we're so full of organized crime? We can't. We're like the world police, yet we're like Mexico or Sicily in terms of how much organized crime we have and corruption. Got the FBI infiltrated by the Irish mob, CIA full of criminals and working with the Italian mafia over the years. And then you have this, I mean, I think it's even worse now than ever how much organized crime there is. So the U.S. can't be the police, if anything, because it doesn't even police itself. And then what happens? What's going on right now? Venezuela, they talk about, they try to tell you that Venezuela is starving because of communism. It's just a bunch of lies. The reason why they're starving is because of the CIA infiltrating their country and bringing down their economy with sanctions. So Venezuela, they may be communist, whatever. I don't agree with communists or capitalists. I think they're both full of it and that they're not neutral. But Venezuela has the most oil resources, the largest oil reserves of any country in the entire world. So there's no reason why Venezuela should be starving right now, except for that. Look, they're not billionaires, all right? If they were, like they're claiming, robbing the population and keeping everything for themselves while everybody else starves, then they would be billionaires themselves. They aren't. They're not able to sell their oil because of U.S. sanctions. That's the reason why they're starving, okay? They're trying to destroy Venezuela because Venezuela's potential competition for American hegemony in South America. Same thing that they're doing to any other country that doesn't agree with them, like Bolivia, whatever, Ecuador. That's probably why Ecuador's keeping Julian Assange, right? Because they know that the U.S. that he's criticizing are a bunch of criminals. That's the sad fact of the matter, that the U.S. CIA, at least, is criminals. And these are also the same people who are abusing whatever, the left-wing television, media, comedy shows to slander and attack Donald Trump, which is ironic because, you know, he himself is a conservative, but he doesn't agree with their policies. So because he's not on board with their policies, even if he is technically on their side as far as capitalism, they take the left-wing lunatics to go after him and convince everybody that Russia is behind Donald Trump. And it's a bunch of lies. It's just like how when they used to say that, look, they also attacked Obama the exact same way. Now, Obama eventually kind of gave in to them, I guess, because he started to do the same things they do. But for years and years, they attacked Obama saying that he was born in Kenya, he was a communist, etc. And it was just a bunch of lies. I mean, Obama was pretty center politically. But the reason why they attacked Obama is because Obama wasn't their guy. Obama and Trump both were elected by the people as opposed to put in power by them, like George Bush and Bill Clinton and so forth. All those people were put in power by the CIA. That's the facts. Not to mention that they all have suspicious connections to things like the Irish mob. I mean, you know that Bill Clinton and the Bushes are Irish. So I wonder about that, given JFK was literally in the Irish mob. They put him in power as well. And then he was killed by the Italian mafia at the behest of the Jewish mob. So this is what's going on in the U.S. The U.S. is just a cesspool of criminality, and it's pretending to be like whatever it was founded to be, like Switzerland or something. But it's just, it's not anymore. I mean, since World War II, at least, since Harry Truman, he was also an Irish mobster. I mean, this place has been just criminal hell. And it's supposed to be the world police. It's not the police of anything. Now, the problem is that everybody else can see this, like the Venezuelans, the Ecuadorians, the Islamists, right? They can all see that the U.S. is full of it and it's evil. And so they're plotting a whatever, Islamist revolution and communist revolution, which is going to provoke the U.S. and the EU to become more dictatorial themselves. The only country here that I think is kind of sane and isn't committing suicide by doing something like this is Russia. Russia is, however, because of the U.S., because of the fact that they station anti-missile systems in Eastern Europe, because they've encroached on Russian territory with NATO expansion, the Russians have been provoked by the U.S. to enter an arms race and develop their weapons in preparation for self-defense, which means that Russia started by developing its nuclear capabilities because it didn't have very much conventional capabilities, meaning that now Russia has the most dangerous, the scariest nuclear weapons of all time, really. ICBMs that have the power of a Tsar Bomba, each individual one can destroy an entire city. They say destroy a region the size of France, but that's an exaggeration. It can literally destroy an entire city. I don't mean just mean like Hiroshima size. I mean it could destroy Los Angeles, just vaporize the entire thing, pretty much. It could literally like vaporize American bases, like Guam would just be non-existent. Any of the American bases in like Norway, whatever, would just stop existing. There wouldn't be anything left of them if even one of these struck. And they have a bunch of penetration aids and are supposedly radar cloaked as well. I don't know. They claim this. They also say that the thing, it breaks up into multiple different warheads so you have a very hard time shooting it down. So there's no doubt that if Russia gets attacked enough, it will use its de-escalation weapons. And it has a lot worse stuff than that, too, even stuff that it's continuing to develop, like the capacity to control or to create artificial weather. That is something also that Russia secretly works on, according to many reports, that Russia is actually developing the capacity or even already has the capacity to create things like hurricanes. And I think a lot of the stuff about them doing this all the time is exaggerated. I don't think that they're all these hurricanes are artificial or whatever. I think most of them are just the consequences of climate change. But I'm not talking like a regular-sized hurricane, okay? I'm talking like a mega hurricane, which is accompanied by giant wildfires. So that's what they're going to use as well, probably in 2028. I mean, My optimistic prediction is that this stuff's gonna hit the fan in 2041, the 2030s to the 2040s. But I think it's quite possible it'll all just happen this next coming decade, and it'll just be over in 2028. Depends on what we see happening here in the next couple of years right now. I mean, as I said, something else that's going on to look for is that interstellar comets are flying into the solar system in an unusual frequency. So we supposedly saw the first interstellar comet that we identified as certainly being interstellar recently, Oumuamua. But I don't think that's the only one. It's going to be a bunch more. And one of these is going to hit the Earth, probably in 2019 or 2028. So, you know, like the optimistic situation, I guess, is that the comet hits the Earth in 2028 and this totalitarian stuff in World War III happens in the 2030s. The less optimistic is that the comet hits the Earth in 2019 and all this stuff ends in 2028. Whatever the case is, though, I study the influences of times and seasons on people. And we entered the Age of Aquarius in 1844. The Age of Aquarius goes through, oscillates between different, what's called a nadi, or a part of a sign. And the last time that we were in the nadi that we're going to be in starting in 2028 was when both world wars happened. World War I and World War II both happened when we were in the same cosmic influences, or whatever you want to say, as we're going to be in starting in 2028. So I think that at the very least, starting in the year 2028, so 10 years from now, we're going to see just total chaos and mass and nuclear wars. That's at the latest. It could even start before then, but definitely after 2028. And the eventual result of this is just going to be the annihilation of most of the population of the world and the complete destruction of most of the USA because of its provocation of Russia. The cities will be just completely eliminated. And so whoever survives is going to be in maybe higher elevation areas and smaller cities, but the big cities could just be totally wiped out. I'd say that the whole East Coast could be wiped out if they use one of these hurricane things or a directed energy weapon that creates a hurricane. So that's possible. It depends on how much they develop that, because they have, 10 years, and they've already done a lot of development just in the past 5 years or 10 years, just the past 10, 20 years right now. So, at the very least, we know they already have these nukes, and that's bad enough, right? The Satan IIs are bad enough, but nothing stops these people who are just rolling forward for their system of totalitarian control so they can stay rich and powerful. Nothing's stopping them. They think they're going to have a paradise by enslaving everybody and keeping things going as they have. But it's really just already the signs of death throes, because the reason why there are things like these communists is because the average person is getting less and less satisfied with the unfair system that we're in right now. And the most popular propaganda out there for justice is communism. Not that it actually is just, but it's just, it's similar to what happened even in Russia, right? The closer they got to a collapse, the more the government cracked down on people. But that's exactly what's happening in the U.S. now, is that the U.S. is also dangerously approaching an economic collapse. It doesn't seem like that right now, but look what happened before Obama bailed out the banks. That's going to happen again. And they're even covering up a lot of stuff that's going on. Like, in my opinion, I think we already reached global peak oil in 2015. And the U.S. Is exporting more oil than ever now, more crude oil. But I think that's in order to supply people who are running out of oil, such as Europeans. I haven't looked at the exact places they're going to, but I think it's about supplying people with oil. While the U.S.'s oil, however, has already reached its peak, along with the oil all around the world. And I think you can see this when you look at what happened with those hurricanes. There were hurricanes that cut the oil supply briefly. And you had people lining up at the gas stations. There was a fuel shortage in Florida and I think South North Carolina. There's a fuel shortage all across the region because of this hurricane in Texas. So that to me shows that we actually already reached peak oil and that they're just fudging the numbers and they're exporting massive amounts in order to supply somebody out there who's running out of oil for some reason, probably Europe, right? Because who has the most oil over there is Russia. And the Europeans rely on Russia for their oil. So the U.S. is trying to reduce that reliance in order to push their agenda, probably. I also find it interesting that the companies that ship the oil by rail seem to be lying about the oil shortage. They had a spokesperson go on and say that there's no fuel shortage, even though there was from the railroad. So I wonder what's really going on here. But I think that everything is rolling toward scarcity of resources, which is a cause for war. And I think all these natural resources are going to become rarer and rarer commodities. As I said, I think we already reached peak oil myself. I think that already happened and they're covering it up. And I also think there's other things involved here. But the thing is, Venezuela has tons of oil, right? That isn't even being utilized. And they say that it's the communist regime there that's responsible. But the U.S. has sabotaged that all the way along because they're afraid of the idea of a socialist country making so much money on oil that isn't part of their profit network. And that, who knows, maybe even that charges fair prices because they want to take it over themselves and take the oil for free like they did with Iraq. You know, have their own oil companies going there. Because they don't like the idea of a government-controlled oil company that's owned by the people. But all this criminal stuff the U.S. does is just provoking people to hate the U.S. So sooner or later, you're going to have stuff like Islamists and communist revolutionaries trying to destroy it all. And then you also have China. China is nominally communist, right? I guess they're half capitalist, a mixed economy. But the Chinese are also burgeoning into a superpower right now, economically and militarily. Mainly economically. I mean, they're militarily inferior to, say, Russia. They have a large military, but they don't have the capabilities. But economically in particular. And I think China does have military plans. As I said on my last program, I think China is using other countries as proxies to even, believe it or not, to develop nuclear weapons on their behalf. So North Korea, for example, they're developing those nuclear weapons with Chinese help. They had a nuclear scientist in China that supposedly poisoned himself. I don't even think he's dead. I think he's just hidden away somewhere, probably North Korea. Came from North Korea, went to China, somehow fled to China, and then mysteriously poisoned himself while he was under arrest. Now, where did he get the poison if he was in a cell? Like, you could hang yourself, but poison? I don't know about that. And I think that what's really going on here is that China is actually behind the DPRK's nuclear program. I think China is also behind the Pakistan nuclear program, and they also developed their nukes for them. And the idea is that China can have these other states build up their nuclear weapons capabilities and use them on China's enemies without China itself getting directly involved. I think China plans, for example, for Pakistan to attack India. I don't know what they want to do with DPRK. Maybe they want DPRK to attack South Korea. But China wants to expand, and to expand, it wants other countries to do the dirty work for them. So that's what China's up to. China's also crazy, obviously. But the biggest hellraiser around the world has to be the U.S. I mean, we're behind the stuff that's going on in Europe right now, for example. It's not just the mafia, it's also the U.S. manipulating people like Angela Merkel. And I think what the U.S. is planning on doing is bringing in a totalitarian system of control and surveillance basically getting rid of all your rights while maintaining the economic system, but centralizing it so that everything is like the EU, like these banks are all given special privileges and unlimited power. The average person is totally dispossessed. And, you know, they'll have all the currency will be digital. So if you commit a thought crime or whatever, they can freeze your bank accounts automatically. Whatever they're planning on doing, they just want to crack down and have as much power as possible. Like, at some point, these guys thought to themselves, oh, I really like the amount of money you could make in this unfair system, but I don't like the freedom and they don't like the actual principles of the United States. They just like the part where you can make money and get rich. And then they feel like that part is threatened ever more by the population because, you know, they're essentially provoking another Boston Tea Party right now. And when that happens, they're planning on cracking down on people and telling them, no, you can't have any socialism, you can't have any fair wages or free health care or anything. You just have to submit to us, or else we'll just send in the military or the militarized police. And of course, all this does is provoke the enemies even more. That's why the communists are so nuts right now, because the U.S. has been doing this all around the world for ages. I mean, South America is full of just raging communists who are going to go nuts as soon as they get the opportunity. They hate the U.S. even more than North Korea, maybe. Like Venezuela, why do you think they hate the U.S.? Because they know that the U.S. did this. It's not Venezuela's government that's behind the economic problems. There's no reason for it. Like, here's the thing. The U.S. says they will not buy oil from Venezuela because they're a dictatorship. It's the same kind of crap they said about Russia with the referendum. Hold on a second. Where does the U.S. get its oil from? Saudi Arabia. The Saudis are a monarchy, not to mention a mafia, that funds international terrorism. And the U.S. has no problem with Saudi Arabia because they're a bunch of rich criminals just like they are, you see? They have no problem with Saudi Arabia because they don't give a damn about freedom. They just care about money and the capacity to commit crimes. That is lawlessness. Anywhere that there's lawlessness and criminals, the U.S. is happy. They love Saudi Arabia. They love Israel. They love all these criminal countries. What they hate is Venezuela because of the idea that the rich people are not going to have to share some of their money with the average person. That's really how sick this is. Like, the U.S. actually likes Saudi Arabia and hates Venezuela. Not because of a dictatorship, all right? The dictatorship going on there is that Venezuela's worried about the CIA infiltrating their country, so they crack down on some of these fake politicians who are sponsored by the CIA. Just like with Crimea, right? The CIA was in there fighting against Russian separatists. Well, now, I mean, just think about their excuse. It makes no sense. Venezuela is a dictatorship, but Saudi Arabia is a monarchy run by the mafia. I mean, not the Italian mafia, but the Saudi version of it, the House of Saud. Like, you want to know about how much of a mafia they are? Just read the book, The House of Saud, which is about the fact that these people are a bunch of criminals. And yet at the same time, they tell us that Venezuela is dangerous and a terrible dictatorship who are dispossessing their people, and that Russia is the new Hitler. It's just lies. You see, these people are just a bunch of liars. And what they support, the system that they're behind, is the reason why we have organized crime all over the place going nuts and killing people and enslaving people, human trafficking, drug trafficking. And they're even behind the Islamist infiltration of Europe, these criminals that the U.S. does nothing about because they always are helpful to their evil aims. Let's see. What's going on in Venezuela right now? So President Maduro has been described as a dictator by opposition leaders, who, by the way, are CIA operatives or sponsored by them, as is the case also with Merkel, believe it or not. Merkel over in Europe is actually being whispered to by the CIA, and this is actually part of their plan to take over Europe. That's just how sick these people are. And at the same time, what's their motive? It's really just holding on to money and power because they don't give a damn about law and order or freedom. You can't listen to this stuff when these people tell you that the U.S. is a world police, or the U.S. is promoting freedom and democracy against dictatorships, because the U.S., I'm telling you, is a dictatorship by the CIA. And the U.S. Is not for any kind of law and order. It's always for everywhere it goes. Look everywhere it goes. You don't believe me? Everywhere the USA is involved around the world, it supports organized criminals. It empowers them. It takes out anybody who might get in their way. And then it lets the organized criminals go. That's what happened in Afghanistan, for example. The U.S. went in there and it took out the Taliban. And then what happened? These criminals started growing more opium than ever. We have Hugo. And what happened to Hugo Chavez anyway? Looks like the guy was killed by the CIA somehow. I don't know. He got cancer supposedly, but it seems suspicious to me. All right. You know why? Because it's all because Venezuela, just like these Middle Eastern countries, has a ton of oil and wants to share it with the population. Like, I don't agree with their Marxist crap, but the fact of the matter is that's what the problem is for the U.S. It has nothing to do with dictatorship. It's all just about money. And I'm sure that they're happy if there's any kind of crime going on, like Ecuador. I'm sure they're happy about that. They don't care about that. They love crime. They just don't like fairness. That's really how sick they are. Now, that's why they're all going to get destroyed. And we're letting them take us with them, basically. Because we just mindlessly believe in this unfair and corrupt system and these criminals being in power, we are letting them provoke the scariest nuclear disaster of all time to happen eventually in our own country because we let them in power. I mean, like I've said before, these organized criminals of any kind should be killed. They are the biggest threat to humanity that there is, and yet we are letting them become president like JFK or Harry Truman. We still worship them after the fact, strangely enough, even though they were criminals. We let them go into Afghanistan and work with the drug lords over there and help get more people addicted to heroin. And it's not just a matter of heroin being bad, okay? It's because it feeds into every other kind of crime. Every time you buy heroin, the money goes to organized criminals who do a lot of other stuff besides just sell heroin, like human trafficking, slavery, you know, murdering people. That's what they all do. So they're all total trash, and nobody should support them. But the U.S. does, because the U.S. is heavily influenced by organized criminals at the highest levels. In particular, I mean, the city of Boston, okay, the whole city is just full of the Irish mob and these fake intellectuals that work with them. But it's not just that. Hello. One of the biggest organized crime groups in the entire world that we now worship and act like they're a bunch of victims and innocent people is the Jews. The Jewish mob is literally probably one of the most powerful organized crime groups in the entire world. You know, in Los Angeles, for example, the police were talking about the Israeli mob, the Israeli organized crime being one of the biggest problems in the city. And you think that doesn't connect to Hollywood and this Harvey Weinstein stuff? Of course it does. That's what the Jews do. They're a bunch of criminals. Just like Italy, you know, the Sicily. It's like Israel itself is like a, it's like if Sicily became a country. That's how much crime goes on in Israel. Don't tell me about the Holocaust or whatever. That was years and years ago. These people have been criminals before and after that. That's why the Holocaust happened in part to begin with, is because all the Jews got blamed for the activities of the Jewish mob, who are still out of control. In fact, they're worse than ever. That's the reason why they're going to get killed by Palestinians as well, is because the Jewish mob runs places like Gaza and the West Bank. And I mean, they don't run it officially, but they are able to go in there and steal people's houses and build illegal constructions. That's what the mob does, all right? They take your apartment. They extort you. They make you pay protection money. They start building stuff without a permit. That's what the mob does. That's what the West Bank and Gaza are. That's why everybody in Gaza is on drugs, why there's tons of other shit going on over there. It's because the mafia, the Jewish mob, are running a lawless society in Palestine. That's also why the Palestinians are becoming a bunch of hate-filled lunatics that want to kill Israelis, because the Israelis don't do anything about the organized crime. It's kind of the same thing with the U.S. The U.S. has all sorts of organized criminals as well, among them also the Jewish mob, but many others all around the world that work with the U.S. We go into a country, we take out the supposed fanatics or communists, and mysteriously right afterward, who starts to take power and get richer than ever, but any kind of mafia that happens to be there. Like Afghanistan now is almost like 90% run by the Pashtun mafia. Most of the farmers there have been converted into opium growers. And people see this, right? The Palestinians see it, and these people in South America and Afghanistan, they all see that when the U.S. goes somewhere, these criminals get a free-for-all. They get a pass to do whatever they want. And they're tired of it, so they're going to probably prepare a revolt. And there's going to be something like a communist revolution going on here, and or Islamist revolution, maybe even the two working together. Maybe even sponsored by China, all right? Because China's a close ally of Pakistan. So I think that's what's going to be going on here, and that their response is going to be even more horrifying, right? Because the U.S., U.S. wants to maintain the status quo. And to do this, what is it going to do to take down places like Pakistan and China? I mean, it built up Pakistan itself, apparently in an attempt to screw with Russia's geopolitics. Who knows what they were thinking there? I think it had to do with the crime as well. I mean, there's various factors involved. Of course, they're not all bad people. There's people in the U.S. government, of course, who have been trying to fight terrorism instead and trying to bring law and order. The problem is they can't do it because these criminals are so out of control. Like, there would have been law and order in Iraq if it weren't for these criminals. I'm telling you, Afghanistan and Iraq would both be under control if the U.S. would actually act in a lawful way. But because the U.S. worked with these criminals, the whole thing failed. And the criminals don't care. And you want to know who are, for an example of criminals, is the Israelis and the Saudis are good allies over there. We talk about Iran all the time, but the Israelis and the Saudis are pretty much run by mafias. And that's the biggest problem here. It's not, I mean, look, a dictatorship is bad, but it's not even close to as bad as organized crime. Because dictatorships, you know, they have laws to some degree, and they have fanatical ideologies or whatever. But these criminals have no laws, and they do anything they want for power and money. That's the definition of them. They're gangs. Right? So gangs, there's nothing good about a gang. It's like 100 times worse than a dictatorship. All right, so I mean, that's what the U.S. has been doing. It's been talking crap about all these different supposed dictators, a lot of which aren't even actually dictators. Like, Putin is not a dictator. And then they support organized criminals who are a kind of dictator anyway. They're just a dictator without any laws. They're a dictator that shoots you in the knee when you don't obey them. And you, to obey them is just essentially to give in to their force to let them commit crimes. So that's what we're promoting around the world. And of course, that chaos is going to get so bad eventually they're going to have to do something about it. And their idea is to maintain a kind of rich elite by establishing a totalitarian system. They've been plotting this for a long time, too. Obviously, because they've been up to it for a long time. They've been, every opportunity they get, they're pushing new surveillance and new legislation to deprive people of their rights and to turn the U.S. and the EU both into one giant dictatorship that tries to compete with the Chinese economy by combining our economies and destroy any opposition to this. I'll be back after this.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Are you curious about the origins of the human race? Join me, Gavin McCall, and a variety of guests on Ancient Humans, where we decipher world events, explore scientific theories, personal stories, myths, mysteries, and lore about the history of the human race.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to The True World of Matthew Deagle. I'm your host, Matthew Deagle. I'm here discussing world events in terms of their collective and individual influences, cultural, psychological, political, and where things are headed, really. It's about what's going on right now and where it's going to lead. Now, last hour I was discussing how these organized criminals are so out of control, and how on the other side of the fence you have all these, well, I mean, there's crime involved there as well. But on the other side of the fence, you have these communists and Islamists. Now, the communists, they think that they're going to make everything just by equalizing everything by force. Of course, it doesn't work. We've already seen it happen before with Russia and China, Pol Pot, etc. China eventually adopted a mixed system. Communism just is not effective, but capitalism is a bunch of BS as well, as we can see right now. It leads to irresponsible activity, criminality, and unfairness, massive disparity between the rich and the poor. So you want to have fairness, you don't have to have communism or capitalism. It's pretty simple. You don't have to you don't have to seize control of the means of production. You don't have to take government control of everything and take away whatever wages and hand out objects to the people. All you have to do is equalize wages to some degree. That's pretty much it. I guess there could be some other things that could be done to control this stuff, but I'll tell you, first of all, first thing you got to do is just get rid of organized criminals of any kind. Any gang whatsoever is lawless and is an enemy of the people. Any gang is going to destroy law and order and fairness and harm the average person and harm society in general. So these gangs should be treated as enemy combatants and shot, any of them. I don't care if it's the Jewish mob or the Irish mob or the Italian mafia or the Bloods or Crips. They should all be shot until they surrender, at which point they should all be arrested and put in jail for life. Besides that, I mean, the organized crime is still out of control right now, but that's what has to be done to stop it. You want to stop something on this scale, you have to use military force on a large scale. The military force should not be against the population. There shouldn't be mass surveillance of everybody. There shouldn't be military crackdowns on the average person. There shouldn't be martial law for the average person. There should just be martial attacks on these organized criminals and terrorists. All right? Not the average person. They want to control everybody, though, because they're afraid people are going to revolt. And they probably will revolt here sooner or later. Now, you also want to put down revolt in a logical way. You have to provide some kind of alternative to this communist revolutionary crap, such as, for example, a reverse income tax, which means that if a person's below a certain wage bracket, they don't lose money to the income tax, they actually get money. You want to know why this makes sense? Because look at the exorbitant wages being paid for people like CEOs. They get ridiculous wages, and that money, where does it go? Just goes to them, just goes to their ass. There's no purpose to pay these people that much money. It doesn't even make any sense. I mean, they're robbing the shareholders with the wages they make. So they should get income taxed, right? They should get gouged. The thing is that that money should go down to somebody else who doesn't get paid as much to equalize the wages somewhat, to even things out so they don't revolt as the cost of living goes up. That's what should happen. There should just be a reverse income tax where a person gets money from the government if they're below a certain wage bracket. And that, I think, would reduce the risk of this kind of revolt at all. As with the Islamists, though, you just shouldn't have this level of immigration. It's ridiculous. There should not be this many people coming from Muslim countries into Europe. It's inevitably going to result in a clash and probably going to provoke the rise of right-wing extremism and nationalism. And other than that, the terrorists are also a kind of organized crime, a particularly dangerous one they're also involved in actual regular organized crime of all kinds as well, like drugs and human trafficking, etc. But smuggling of all kinds of things. But their main job, the main thing they do is they kill random civilians for revenge. Now, of course, they do this because of stuff that the U.S. and Europe did in their countries or whatever. Their justification is their religion. And some of them are also delusional enough to believe that the solution to all these problems is just to establish Sharia law or something. But that's not really Muhammad or the original Islam anyway. It's just a bunch of stuff that scholars developed in the Middle Ages. And it all disagrees with each other anyway. They can't say what the original teaching was. They don't even know. They're Sunnis and Shiites. So they believe in all these scholars in these questionable interpretations. So they believe, some of them believe that, but I think a lot of them are just out to get revenge and to try to force a change in the political system. And honestly, I think they're being used as a proxy army by China as well. The irony here is that you have these organized criminals that are in league with the U.S. and Israel that are helping the Islamists get into Europe for criminal reasons, to have a criminal underclass similar to that which exists in the U.S. Because we have a lot of blacks and Hispanics and so forth who are a resource for criminals. It's just how it is. They are a resource for criminals because they're poor and there's criminal culture going on among them. The vast majority of people who enter into gangs are from lower classes of society, whether white or black or whatever. And so they are bringing in poor people with a criminal culture from North Africa into Europe. But the thing is that these people are then being influenced by Pakistani ISI, who are being used as a proxy by the Chinese. And their plan, I think, is to try to provoke a communist revolution. So you got to wonder what's going to happen here. I mean, if that happens, all right, if that happens, if these Islamists try to start a revolution in Europe, whatever they think it is, Islamic revolution, Islamic slash communist, then you know what the U.S. is going to do. And I think that they even are foreseeing that. They just don't care because it's another excuse to get more power, to take over Europe. But in the long run, just think of how many billions of these people there are. Chinese, South Americans. There are more communists and Islamists out there than there are anything else. They're going to kill you. You know, they're definitely going to, I mean, the main thing here with these terrorists is their motivation is to get revenge, to kill people. But, yeah, these people don't care. They're just too stupid to even realize where they're headed. Where they're actually headed is being destroyed eventually because of their provocations. And we're going to get destroyed along with them because we were stupid enough to go along with them. But thing is, if you want fairness, you do not need to become a Marxist. You don't need to become a social justice warrior. That stuff is just a different kind of craziness. It's not real justice. It's contradiction. This is maybe something I should discuss a little bit here, is about how contradiction versus logic is a life or death choice. All right. Contradictions always lead to more chaos and conflict. Whether it's the contradiction between how rich these people are in the U.S. and how poor some other people are, that's one. But also, a lot of the beliefs of Marxists are contradictions. Like, they believe in total equality in the sense of making things that are different equal. Well, if you make things that are different the same, that implies that you're saying that they're the same thing when they're different, which is a contradiction. You see? It's illogical. So anything illogical like that is going to destroy natural functions. Like, for example, a lot of the Marxists are involved with this feminist stuff. Feminism, though, has a lot to do with illogical beliefs that deny reality about things like sex differences and male and female roles, etc. They think that all that stuff is bad because it's unequal. I mean, they're nuts, right? They're insane. It's not true. That's not the source of inequality or unfairness. The source of unfairness is mostly just culture and money, like fake religions, for example, and the fact that the average person can get paid so much less than these CEOs. Wages, right? I'm not talking about investors. They're just whatever. They've made an investment. They've created capital. I'm talking about people who are just sitting in their armchair or whatever, giving out orders, and they get paid like 100 times more than the average person. Like, there should be something to balance that out, because that creates resentment. It's not logical. It's a contradiction. So if you want to prevent a communist revolution, the solution is not to send in the military and establish totalitarian surveillance and put a microchip in everybody like these idiots want to do. All that that does is concentrate power in such a way as to become ever worse a threat to Russia, which means that Russia will continue arming itself to the teeth in preparation for self-defense. And it, you know what Russia thinks it sees in its plans? It goes, oh, look, there's oil in Alaska and Canada. Canada's got more oil than pretty much any country except for Venezuela. Alaska's got oil. Oh, look, Iran has oil, etc. Russia thinks about its natural resources running out or depleting, and it thinks about how much of these resources are in places that are near the U.S. and about how much the U.S. is provoking them by building missile, anti-missile stations, and by expanding NATO and by trying to start a war with Germany. I mean, the more that they agitate against Russia, the more certain their doom is. Because in the future, right, Russia's going to have its conventional capabilities up to around where its nuclear capabilities are, or beyond. And so in the future, Russia's going to be the most powerful military in the world, I think. Especially because their research and development is just going nuts right now with the stuff they're building. Like the nuclear weapons are like nothing we've seen before. And they have secret weapons that are way worse than that, too. So if push comes to shove and these people keep on provoking Russia, the concentration of power of this totalitarian system combined with the provocation of Russia as their enemy and as their scapegoat means that Russia will eventually be capable of destroying the U.S. entirely because it is building itself up in self-defense. And of course, like any other country on this planet, like China and the U.S. and so forth, Russia also has eventual offensive aspirations. Not right now, right? It's defensive right now. It's being accused of being offensive. It's not really offensive at all. But eventual, because of this provocation, if the U.S. were peaceful with Russia, they wouldn't behave this way. The U.S. is not peaceful to Russia. The U.S. provokes Russia. And the U.S. media and the CIA constantly agitate about Russia for some reason. It's just nonsense. So, of course, if they do this, which they probably are, I mean, I think 2028, just watch. If you don't have a microchip in your hand by 2030, then I'll give you $100. Because I bet you're going to have one. I bet we're going to be under totalitarian surveillance. We're going to have microchips implanted in us. We're going to be tracked and traced. And we're going to have all this stuff in the name of security after stuff like Islamists in Europe take over France. Or, you know, possibly worse, they might even get a hold of the French nuclear weapons and use one of them. Who knows? But it all traces to these criminals in the U.S. and I guess these Islamists who are being supported by China through Pakistan. But they're also being led in there by criminals that work with the U.S. and Israel. So what's going on here is just total chaos. And I think if a country like Venezuela wants to thrive, what it has to do is start selling its oil to somebody besides the U.S. You know, they should sell their oil to Russia or somebody. They should look to sell their oil, and I would kick out any of the CIA because that's what they're doing. They're trying to destroy the Venezuelan economy as an excuse to take it over eventually. And I think that they're trying to keep the oil going, the oil reserves untapped there in preparation for a future attack on them, just like with Iraq. So I would say those people should probably... I mean, they're already sanctioned. They should do something to sell their oil to somebody else, like Russia or China. Because the U.S. is not happy unless it is making maximum profits. The reason why is because the people who control this country are criminals, unfortunately. You know, not all of them, but I'm saying the criminals are so powerful, in particular because of the influence of the Irish in Boston and the Jews. Because both of them are criminals. And they have no bounds to what they will do for money and power. I mean, really, this look at the pattern here. When did this really start? Like, the U.S. was pretty bad, right, in the 19th century. But the oldest criminal organization in the U.S. is the Irish mob. Like I said before, we've had like 20 to 22 Irish presidents. We've had like three Germans for some reason, even though the average American's a German. And things really started to go downhill around the time of the 20th century, especially after World War II. So that makes you wonder, you know, how much influence in this do these criminals have? Like, what they've done all along is suppress anything that might compete with their power, even though they're just a bunch of idiots that can't even maintain law and order. And by this, I mean, well, first of all, who is it? It traces to these fake religions, okay? It really does. Because who gives funerals for the Irish mob and for the Italian mafia? Who does nothing about them and mysteriously collaborates with them? The Vatican, right? But then on the other hand, what's the other? Like I said, the one of the biggest criminals in the universe are the Jews. And they hide behind the guise of religion or whatever, but they're not religious. They're just a bunch of materialists. Maybe there are some that are, but I think that most of it is just crime. And they're using religion as a justification for founding a country that's really not even a country at all. Like Israel, I think, is just a nominal state that is an overseas proxy of the U.S. criminal network. That's all I think it is. They use the excuse of Judaism and Christianity to get a bunch of idiots to support it. But what I think it really is a place for the mob to do whatever it wants. Because especially Palestine, all right? Palestine, there's no laws there. Yet the Israelis act like there are laws there, like they can enforce laws and arrest people, but they only arrest people that are protesters. They don't arrest the mob. Never. They never arrest. Like they arrested that Ahed Tamimi, right? All right, but she's just some teenager that was, you know, slapping an IDF soldier. She's harmless, and she's pissed off for a reason, because they shot her brother in the head. But they never arrest the mob that are going in there and running drugs and beating people up and trafficking slaves. The worst thing they do is they are building illegal constructions on people's own land in the West Bank. And they don't care. You know why? Because Israel is not even really a government. Like, they pretend to have laws, right? They arrest petty criminals. They arrest people for, like, dealing marijuana. But they don't arrest the big-time criminals. And the other suspicious thing is, you want to look at the other country that does this all the time. Look at the U.S., like Los Angeles. Why is it that in Los Angeles there's so many gangs just out of control? Gangs that even started in Los Angeles. Black, Hispanic, Jewish, Armenian, whatever. Every gang you can imagine operates in Los Angeles. And none of them has been taken out. They just arrest petty criminals. They don't even bother with these people or something. Because somehow, hardly any of them go to jail. So it's a wonder when any of them do. Like, it took them ages to get that Whitey Bulger arrested. I'm sure that they even knew where he was. He was in Santa Monica, an Irish mobster that worked with the FBI as an informant. But he was right there again in Santa Monica. So Los Angeles, criminal hellhole. And that place, California, my God. Cost of living is ridiculous. And the taxes are ridiculous, and the fines are ridiculous. Like, the police can fine you like crazy for anything. They can give you a $500 speeding ticket, but they can't get rid of the mob. They don't even do anything about them. And then what was that Corey Feldman thing? He was talking about how a bunch of boys he knew about in Hollywood were being sexually abused, and he told the police about it, the LAPD. What did they do? They said that afterward they couldn't find the tape that he gave. They said they couldn't find it. He recorded on tape in the 90s during the Michael Jackson thing, I think, a list of people that he said were sexually abusing young boys. And they said they lost it. Then like a week later they said, oh, look, we found it. They said it didn't even exist, I think. I mean, and guess what? They're still not doing anything about it. They're saying they aren't going to prosecute Harvey Weinstein either. That's the last thing I heard. They're not going to do anything about him. He's also a mobster. Look at this guy. He's a Jewish mobster. That's why he did what he did. He thought he could get away with it because this is what the mob does. See, we're talking about men and men being perverts or whatever. It's just not what this is about. These people are in the mafia. These people are criminals. I mean, in every different other way as well. Like, that's what's going on in the USA. It is not a free country so long as those criminals have freedom. So long as they can do whatever they want, the U.S. is oppressed by criminals. And ironically, this is a similar situation that led to the American Revolution, because the British were also full of criminal scum. And they were oppressing the average person, just the same way the California government does. Like, think about this. This is a country where you're revolted because of taxes. All right, you're revolted because of taxes. And then what's going on in California right now? Look at how much they tax you for everything they can. If people have to realize that this government cannot be trusted, and there has to be something done about this. And these criminals, in particular, they have to be eliminated. And you know, this all traces to these few little supposed joyous ethnicities or whatever you want to call them. These people who try to convince us 24/7 that they're innocent, like the Jews, for example. They're not innocent. They're a bunch of criminals. As a matter of fact, I'd say they've already surpassed Hitler by 10 times and as far as the horrible things they've done. I'm not just talking about the Palestinians, okay? I'm talking about the wars they've started and the wars they've been involved in and caught being involved in. Like the Iran-Iraq war resulted in like 500,000 deaths or so. Lebanese civil war. Israelis were behind both of those. And we talk about Hitler, but the Israelis don't even do anything with this. They protect their country. But then what do they do with their country? But they don't even enforce the law. They just let the mob do whatever it wants. They act like they have jurisdiction in the West Bank when they don't actually have jurisdiction there, by the way. They can't arrest anybody. I said they arrested Ahed Tamimi. They can't arrest her. But you know why? Because they don't have jurisdiction. All they can do is take her as a war captive because it's an occupied zone. So they didn't arrest anybody. They just captured her. But the Israelis are so stupid that they think they also believe in their dumb government because they think that it's about patriotism and Judaism. It's not, okay? It's about the mob. As a matter of fact, I would say that really Israel is effectively a proxy of the U.S. It's not even a real country. It depends on the U.S. so much and so heavily involved in American organized crime. I don't even think it's an independent country. It's just essentially a state. State without laws, right? It's a lawless state. Even more lawless than like Nevada or California. And that's what's going on here. These criminals, they're ruining everything and they're going to get a bunch of people killed. That's the main motive for the Palestinians going nuts in the West Bank, is because of these criminals. It's the main motive for the Islamists in Europe, is the criminal activity in their countries. And the criminal activity is the reason why they're getting into Europe to begin with. And it's the motive for the communists, too, because they're really angry about what the criminals have done in their countries with the help of the CIA. So, criminals, all right, they're not your friends. They're enemies of society by definition. You know, if you want to do drugs, guess what? You can just try to get drugs legalized. You want to smoke pot or do heroin. I don't recommend it, but I would not recommend buying it from criminals because they do all sorts of other horrible stuff that is not just personal choice or whatever. I mean, they hurt a lot of people. And they do every kind of crime. So no matter what these people claim to be doing or what they claim to be, like, the Aryan Brotherhood, for example, claim to be about Nazism or white supremacy, Adolf Hitler would have put them all in concentration camps. They aren't Nazis. They're just a bunch of criminals. And, you know, that's the reason why Hitler oppressed the Jews as well, is because of the crime. That was the whole justification. And right now, with the Islamists, something similar might happen to them because of the fact that there's so much terrorism. Different kind of crime. But it's also possibly a justification for becoming rather unfair, which I think is likely in Europe right now because the Islamists are so out of control. I think that the European Union and the U.S. are eventually going to start becoming totalitarian, whatever you want to call it, like capitalist, fascist, whatever. Very stupid, all of it. I mean, it's particularly stupid because right now, if they cared about security more than about money, they would have been closest allies with Russia. Because Russia is the only country that's really sincerely trying to help them fight terrorism. But no, they're friends with Pakistan and China, Saudi Arabia, you know, all these countries that are either involved in terrorism or at least sponsoring it. But they tell us to be worried about Iran because of Hezbollah. All right, they're also criminals, but you know what? It pales in comparison to Saudi Arabia. Pales in comparison to a lot of other stuff that we are friends with. It's just, every time they say this stuff, it's just a lie. Like, they just tell you these stupid lies. Like, they're afraid of... And people just buy it. The media is like a cult at this point. They repeat this stuff, and they act like you should be ashamed for disagreeing with their BS. Like, you should be ashamed because you don't believe they're concerned about Venezuela being a dictatorship. I don't say they say that in particular, but they say that about Russia. Like, they act like Russia's a pariah for no reason. And then they're a pariah. I mean, what they are is just absolutely disgusting. The media, I mean, and it's just, I think they just hit the tip of the iceberg with these guys like Matt Lauer. I think it's a lot worse than that. I mean, you add, on top of that, let's see what else is going on here with this degenerate culture. Like over in Silicon Valley, they're having a bunch of sex parties. I read about that recently. You can read about it yourself if you want. I think it was Vanity Fair. Sex and drugs, you know, where they all screw each other while they're on ecstasy. And they're idiots. Right? They're just degenerates with no real culture. And of course, that's a motive also for the Islamists. They see how these modern people, whatever you want to call it, Americans, Westerners, a lot of them are just total degenerates with no culture, just total materialists. And that's offensive to anybody who has a sense of dignity, honestly. It's just not offensive to them because they're just too brain dead to even see that it's what pieces of shit they are. But the Islamists, though, of course, are mostly motivated like anybody else by power. I mean, a lot of them are also scum, like Hezbollah selling drugs over here in the U.S., whatever. I mean, these people all have those elements to them, but I don't think that many of them, except for Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia, have the pervasive organized crime that the U.S. and Israel have. They're not as pervasively criminal. It's a kind of side faction of them. They shouldn't tolerate any of it, though. Nobody should tolerate crime of any kind. Organized crime, I mean. The organized criminals should all be eliminated. But I think that from what I observe, there's hardly any country more rife with organized criminals than the U.S. It's almost unprecedented, really, just the level of crime is insane. But I think that derives from the degenerate culture, because what happened is in the U.S. they decided to, in the 20th century, to start suppressing traditional culture. So they would say, for example, you should just be an American and not a German American. They banned German newspapers in World War I, German schools. They talked about how Germans are traitors and how Germans all... they had Germans being tarred and feathered and stuff like that. That is the reason why America is such a hellhole right now, is because the culture's gone down the toilet. And the reason why is because they tried to replace traditional culture with this modern bullshit, which is materialism and lawlessness, immorality, and stupidity. And why would they do this? I think because they themselves are criminals, all right? Whether you're talking about Harry Truman or JFK, both of them in the Irish mob, whether you're talking about, I haven't researched enough about what happened back with Wilson and so forth, but they certainly were hostile toward culture. And over and over again, it was these criminals with connections to the Jews and the Irish mob, one or the other or both, very, very often just both, who suppressed the good culture and real morality and promoted fake religion, also any kind of twisted and corrupt, stupid, and self-indulgent religion they promote. Suppressed anything real, anything substantial, and especially suppressed any traditional culture. So that's the main reason why the USA is so bad right now, is because of the lack of culture. And that also is spreading to other countries that have been Americanized, because Americanization essentially means that they're taking away your culture and replacing it with something that is totally empty and materialistic. There's no American culture, right? It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. There's a bunch of different cultures in the U.S. that are based on a mixture of European culture and maybe some Native American or something like that, or an offshoot of a European culture. But the fact of the matter is that when they try to take away, for example, the German language or signs of Germanness and make people change their last names, like the majority of Americans are German descent. And ironically enough, they still aren't even the worst. So it's crazy. They've had their culture taken away. They've had their identity stolen from them. They've been genocided, basically, without being killed. And yet German Americans are still relatively more lawful than, say, the Irish. The Irish are just horrendous. The Jews are even worse, really. So I think that's what it's about. It's really not even about this culturalist stuff that they promote and all this degeneracy they promote. It's just about them replacing anybody that might compete with their power, with the power of the Jews and the Irish, and who are both just the scum of the earth. The Irish Americans, at least, I don't know about Ireland, but the Massachusetts is just a hellhole. And then you have other kinds of criminals that are also involved in similar stuff, like Mitt Romney, for example. The guy worked, he was in Boston himself, probably has connections to this stuff. Supposedly went after the Irish mob, but I don't believe it myself, because, I mean, I see JFK's brother went after the mafia. He was the head of the McClellan Committee, but he was also in the Irish mob. So what I think that Romney could well be himself connected to some kind of mafia, because the guy's involved in every other kind of financial crime. And then what is he involved in? The Mormons, right? The LDS. Well, that place, that's a bunch of criminals too and a bunch of liars. The whole thing's a fraud. They just, the original, I mean, I talked about it briefly, but I mean, it's all a fraud. Joseph Smith just stole his information from Oliver Cowdery, who he then excommunicated from the church. Then he claimed to be a prophet himself. It's just a bunch of lies. But, so that whole thing's lies to begin with. And then on top of that, they have these criminals like Mitt Romney that they support out of naivety or whatever. But I guarantee you there's tons of money laundering, whatever, financial stuff going on there. And if I were in Utah, I would think about just cutting open their accounts are and, you know, looking over it all in a government investigation. If they've got stuff going on, just take that money from them. Give it to the average person. Because, I mean, if there's one guy like Romney getting away with that stuff there, then there's got to be a bunch of them. people like him, he's, even if he isn't an actual organized criminal, probably is, though, he's at least a shark. And there's a bunch of others like that. But, I mean, he was in Massachusetts, all right. Massachusetts, Boston, it used to be run by the Irish mob. It still probably is. And what can I say? I mean, this is what's going on in the U.S., is that we have these criminals that have managed to make themselves the so-called elite. But they're the elite of nothing because they're cultureless degenerates. Like the actual elites in this country, they took away their culture. They took the Germans and they crushed them into the dirt. They made the Jews and the Irish mob the kings of the U.S. Yet they're the scum of the earth and they'll never be anything more than that because they don't have any real culture. They just have stuff they stole from other people and ruined. Who else in the U.S. is actually some kind of, you know, nobility? How about, like, maybe the Hopi Indians, right? They have a good culture. But not these scum over there in Massachusetts and New York. Those guys are a bunch of trash. And they'll never be anything more unless they abandon their criminal ways and their degenerate culture. But, that's what we have going on here, is that you're not going to be able to have a free society unless you cultivate some kind of good traditions and fairness, you know, some kind of real deeper morality, as opposed to just pretending. Like Mitt Romney's a good example right there of pretend morality. It's all just hypocrisy. Like the guy's a thief, yet he goes around acting like he's holy because he doesn't drink coffee. It's just a joke. Like, this kind of stuff, how does anybody take this guy seriously? Like, you just want to punch him in the face. He's so full of shit. But for some reason, people listen to this crap and even voted for him. Nobody should have voted for Mitt Romney. But it's a good thing he lost. Now, what else do we see here in this country? I mean, God, who knows how many of these people are involved in the criminal stuff? Like, I'm not saying that every Irish person or Jew is, but the Irish mob and the Jewish mafia, Jewish mob, right? These guys are horrendous. And they're supported by the criminal culture, right? Because the culture of Judaism and the culture of the Irish is criminal. It condones this stuff. They believe in covering up for criminals. They believe in not talking to the police about stuff and keeping everything a secret and making up lies to cover up the criminal activities of other Jews and other Irish and so forth. Same thing with the Sicilians, right? They have the exact same thing. They even have a word for it, omerta, which means they keep silent about anything with the authorities. Now, that's the kind of people we have in power in the U.S. We're supposed to be the world police and a bastion of democracy and liberty like Switzerland or something. Switzerland's also pretty bad right now, but not like this. But because we have these criminals in power that don't even believe in the law. So the reason why we have any freedom or any kind of protection is because of the law. And the people in power, however, are against the law. So of course they're going to take away our freedoms like they're doing. They're going to break the law 24/7. That's what they do. Because we tolerate them, and we're stupid enough to think that just because the USA says that it's based on the idea of freedom and security or whatever, that we have that. We don't have that, really. We have it for right now, but once they have an excuse, they're just going to openly take it all away, because the CIA is already a dictatorship full of criminals. Once they have an excuse, they're going to take it away openly, and I sure hope that there's a revolution. I mean, this stuff... I don't think we should overthrow the government, but I mean, I sure hope that there's a revolution against these criminals. And by revolution, I mean that the good part of the government should go after these people and kill them. Like, I think there should be military operations against the organized criminals, whether it's the mafia or whatever, because there's no excuse for this. There's no reason at all for the USA or Europe to have this much crime, given the kind of governments that they have. It's just insane. Like, they're being totally thwarted. Look at Sweden, for example. Sweden's not that bad overall. The problem is they have so many criminals coming in from North Africa, from the Middle East. And they believe that the lies of the mafia, such as the Jewish mob, for example, and the Italian mafia, bringing these criminals in. I think the Jews are heavily involved in what's going on in Sweden, though. And they believe these lies that it's supposedly racist, right? It's racist not to want to have criminals in your country. Like, look, I'm not racist against people from the Middle East. My own great-grandfather was from Lebanon. So, no, I'm an Arab myself, partially. But I'm not racist, okay? What I think is that these people are criminals and that they're being brought in by the mafia to become their henchmen. So that's why you see stuff like them throwing grenades at each other. Okay, it's because they're criminals. It's not a matter of their religion or their race. Although the Islamists, of course, use their religion as an excuse to get bloody revenge on people and to commit crimes. The problem is that mass immigration like this just shouldn't happen. It's going to create conflict. Not, you know, small amounts of immigration are fine, but mass immigration like that is not good. The U.S., by the way, they tell you it's a country of immigrants, and because the pilgrims were immigrants, right? But guess what? The U.S. used to have immigration quotas that preferred people from East, from Northern Europe until the 1960s, when they changed the quotas mysteriously. They went and they passed another bill to change the quotas even more. So no, the U.S. is not a country of immigrants. They just made it a country of immigrants in the past, like, what, 50 years or so. So no, it is not a country of immigrants, okay? It's a lie. And immigration is not good, not on that scale. Now, I mean, obviously Mexico has always been there, right? I'm talking about people coming in from, like, China that are still loyal to the PRC or involved in the triads. I'm talking about people coming in from worse places like Yemen and other places in the Middle East that are full of terrorism and literally being born in the U.S. and becoming internationally renowned terrorist preachers like Awlaki. Like, that is not diversity, okay? It's not enriching to your culture. Like, maybe it's fine for somebody like my great-grandfather who came over from Beirut, right? His parents did, and he was a businessman. But the thing is that, I mean, admittedly, he was a Christian, right? He wasn't a Muslim, so he didn't have any religious conflict with people. Their church over there is just part of the same Catholic church as the one over here. But, so it's not a matter, I mean, there is an issue of religious conflict there, obviously, between Islam and Christianity. But the fact is, the biggest issue is the crime and the terrorism and just the fact that you have this many people from a foreign country in your country. Now, I don't think that it should be equated, honestly, with the Mexican stuff, though, because there's already so many Mexicans in the U.S. and Mexico is right next to the U.S., right? It's not that surprising when you have Mexican immigration. Now, it shouldn't be happening on the scale it's happening. There shouldn't be so much illegal immigration. That's terrible. But I don't think that we should be all that worried about Mexicans becoming terrorists or whatever. We should be worried about the Mexican organized crime again. So you see, that's the issue with Mexico as well. It has nothing to do with Mexican people or, I mean, come on, the southwestern U.S. is like half Mexican anyway. It's not about the culture. Like, if there were no organized crime in Mexico, you could just get rid of the border entirely because it would pretty much be the same thing. Because besides organized crime, there's not that much of a difference between like Texas and Mexico or New Mexico and Mexico or Arizona and Mexico. There really isn't that much of a difference other than the crime. So again, it's an excuse to bring in criminal henchmen, and that's all it's about. It's because some, ironically enough, some white or Jewish criminal likes this. Some Irish criminal or some Jewish criminal thinks this is a wonderful situation to have illegal immigrants coming into the U.S. to become criminal henchmen. That's another reason why, by the way, why they hate Donald Trump, because he talked about building a wall that would interfere with their drug trade. So that's just the kind of scum we're dealing with here. They bring up, this is what they've always done. They tell you it's about racism or about some other moral crap. They don't have any morals. They tell you it's a dictatorship in Venezuela, and they tell you that, oh, you have to worry about Russia invading Crimea when they actually held a vote. They don't give a damn about any morals. They're criminals. And they, whenever they say stuff like that, it's just their lie and their excuse to cover up what they're really doing. So this stuff about Donald Trump being racist against Mexicans, it's not true, all right? You want to know what's actually going on is that the Mexican organized criminals are working together with the Irish and Jewish organized criminals to make moolah. And those pieces of shit control your media. Those fucking scum that should be shot. So excuse my language, but honestly, that's what they are. And it can't be said any other way, all right? Can't be said any other way than those people are disgusting trash that should die. And we tolerate them. We just sit back and let this happen. While they look at the stuff they do, it's just unbelievable the kind of crimes they commit. You can't hurt their feelings, but they can go around decapitating people and murdering people for no reason. That's the kind of stuff that the U.S. is letting happen because of these criminals. That's why they didn't like Donald Trump, because he wasn't part of their criminal organization. Now, of course, there is a peripheral connection to like the religious aspects of the Jewish groups, right? Because his son-in-law is in the Chabad thing. But I think they're more concerned with him not being in like the Irish mob or whatever, right? So that's what this is about, the criminals. I mean, that shows you right there that it's about crime. Because they hate Donald Trump because he was going to get in the way of their criminal activities. But look, they never talk about, like, I mean, it isn't even about the fact that he's connected to Jews or whatever, because his son-in-law is a Jew. But the difference is maybe that he's not in the mob. You see, whereas they loved the Bushes, who were Irish. I wonder about that. But I mean, we don't have to wonder about Harry Truman, right? They loved Harry Truman. Harry Truman was in the mob. I mean, he was in the mob. That's how he got in power. And JFK was in the mob, right? So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about the Jews, right? I'm not talking about necessarily like Donald Trump's son-in-law. I'm talking about the Jewish mob. Like, obviously, what? Enya's not in the Irish mob, right? But a lot of Irish people are in the Irish mob. And there's no reason that they should. The problem with these people isn't so much that they're all bad, it's that they support this criminal crap. They look the other way, or they let it happen, or they just accept it as part of their culture. Most of it's passive, right? But these criminals need to die. I'm not joking about that. I mean, there should be military action against them. And I sure hope somebody starts doing it at some point. Unfortunately, it seems to me like right now, all these governments, whether it's the U.S. or China or Russia, tolerate the criminals to some degree. The U.S. is probably the worst, in my perspective. The second worst is probably Europe, as far as letting the criminals do whatever they want and coming up with ridiculous moral excuses for why it's wrong to confront them. But even Russia, right? Like, Russia had the Armenian mob working with them over in Syria. So they all let this happen. I mean, what is this? Like, just, 70, 80 years ago, we had a movement of people that were cracking down on all organized criminals and eliminating it, right? Like the Nazis, for example, were getting rid of organized criminals. Then immediately after the Nazis are defeated, they decide that genocide or whatever they say happened, I mean, they exaggerate the hell out of that, but of course, some of it did happen, right? And they say that that's all somehow, cracking down on organized crime is somehow all part of racism and genocide. Which is not the case, right? I mean, like, there's nothing essentially related between cracking down on a criminal organization with, I mean, almost all these mobs have some kind of ethnic connection, supposedly. But what do they actually do to their peoples? They destroy their own peoples first and foremost. Like, who's the biggest enemy of Mexico right now? The gangs, like the Sinaloa. They're the public enemy number one in Mexico. every Mexican should hate them, but they're stupid. They think that these people are their friends, just like we do in the U.S. And I honestly don't even know which country has more crime. I don't even know, but Mexico's got a lot of openly out-of-control crime. The USA does a lot of it overseas, though, so maybe even in Mexico. That's probably a reason why there's a lot of crime going on there. It's because the USA doesn't do anything about it. In fact, it supports it because the money comes from the drugs they sell here, and then these supposed anti-racists, these glorious moral guardians, are telling us that we have to have open borders with Mexico. And it's not good for anybody. Just like how the Israelis say that this is all about the, you know, justice for the Holocaust or whatever. What's actually going on in Israel is that these criminals are provoking the Palestinians to turn into a bunch of communist revolutionaries. I mean, the PLO is literally a communist party. And they don't care because the criminals are making money. They don't think about the future because they're criminals. They don't care. But maybe a few years after they die in their lovely mansion, there's going to be a revolution in the West Bank by a bunch of crazy Islamists and or communists. Just like, and they're probably going to kill the settlers. They're going to kill those Jews who were living over there in the West Bank. And the people who are dying, guess what? It's not going to be Hitler doing it. It's going to be the Jewish mob's fault. Just like how when the USA gets nuked by Russia, it's going to be their fault. So they won't have anybody to blame but themselves. And I don't think they won't even be around anymore to blame anybody. That's what they always do. They always say that it's somebody else. But it's not. It's the criminals. The organized criminals are the reason why all these countries are going down the toilet and why they're all going to be destroyed eventually. So there has to be either a crackdown on criminals in general, like global. That's what the United Nations is for, in my opinion. It's for cracking down on criminals. But they don't do their job, of course. They're incompetent. But what it is for is getting rid of all criminals and terrorists the world over using peacekeeping forces. I don't mean like every crime. Okay, I'm not talking about like individuals. I'm saying organized crime. Mafias, gangs, every gang on earth should be attacked by the UN. And every terrorist organization on earth should be attacked by the UN. The moment that they're found to even exist, they should be attacked. So I'm hoping that in the future here, maybe Russia will change its mind about these criminals and stop working with them and decide that this is where terrorism comes from. And so they need to defend themselves against these people. I wish the U.S. would do this, but I just see the kind of people in power here, and I just don't see it getting any better. I mean, what should happen? Like as I said, this should be the United Nations doing this, but they don't do it because they're corrupt themselves. They're clearly corrupt because they go along with all these sanctions. And these sanctions are all criminal. Like, there shouldn't be a sanction on Russia for holding a democratic vote in Crimea. There shouldn't be sanctions against Venezuela by the U.S. either. There shouldn't even be sanctions on North Korea. But I'll be back next week here, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, to discuss Free Will with Matthew Deagle. Thanks for listening.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Take a look around, kid. What do you see? Homes being foreclosed. People working 2-3 jobs just to put food on the table and still drowning in debt. Don't get me wrong. This country was founded on great ideals and principles. They've all been ruined by the banks. Open your eyes to the banks that are robbing you. You know who my favorite president was?
Who?
Thomas Jefferson. Because he saw all of this coming and tried to stop it. He fought the banks. JFK too, and they killed him for it. The banking institution is more dangerous than an army, he said. He also said that every generation
needs a revolution.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Voices
of the American Dream is just that. Just a dream. War is a continuation of politics, only by other means. Politics is a continuation of economics by other means. This is our bank. This is our war. And this is our plan of attack.
Banks have become an essential threat to our democracy. So consider this justice.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio! Data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say,